of thanks for the church here. I was going to check and see if I can tell really when the first time was that Paula and I came here. It must be 25 years ago. Not quite as long as Brother Bill, but I have to voice the same sentiment of thanksgiving for your faithfulness. And we do. We think of Westerville Bible Church really as one of our home churches, a sense of oneness in our heart and spirit for the Lord, our commitment to the ministry of Christ. And I want you to know that your ministry through the missionaries has been effectual. We've heard from the Kiefers what they've done over these years, and the best I can, I want to reassure you also that our intention is to maintain ourselves faithful to Christ, to His call, to His work over these years that you've supported us also. We want to give you thanks. I want to this morning turn our thoughts towards, we had that scripture reading from Romans chapter 15. You don't need to turn there. I won't be speaking from that. But again, rehearsing verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Prayer is a very important part to the ministry, building the church of Jesus Christ. I wanted to rehearse again, if we can, hope you can see that all right, our theme verse. Again, I'm not going to be preaching from this, but I did want to rehearse this, so that our thoughts can be turned towards what we're intending to do, be co-laborers with God, co-laborers with the missionary in building His church. I broke this down. We saw the source of the promise. This is God's promise. Will God not keep His promise? He keeps His promise. I will. This is God speaking. The action of the promise. I will build my church. Again, that's not a physical building He's making reference to. That is the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. All the believers in Jesus Christ are included in that church. I will build my church. And this is globally. This is everywhere. As I spoke, what night was it? Friday night. That this goes to the extent of the earth. Our Lord is building His church. And there's the assurance. There's that security of that promise. We can trust in that promise. What we are doing through our missions program and what's being accomplished here at Westerville, it is you can be assured that God is using this to fulfill His promise to build that church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's take encouragement and heart, brethren. With all that's going on in the world today, guess what? Guess what? God is still keeping His promise. And He's going to continue to fulfill that as He wills. But I want us to turn this morning to the book of Philemon. Philemon, can you guess what chapter? Just turn to Philemon. This book is a great little book. Paul writing to one of his converts. And what a friend Philemon was. In fact, the name Philemon means a friend. And indeed, he was a friend to the Apostle Paul. And you know what? Every time I can picture the Apostle Paul when he got with Philemon, he felt like we do when we come to Westerville. We have friends. These are friends. And he had great confidence in them. Verse 2, he talks about greet these and also the church that's in your house. Philemon was using all that he had to serve Jesus Christ. All that he had to build the church of Jesus Christ. He opened up his home for the services. Verse 7 says that he was an encouragement to the saints. And here's a brother that just poured himself out to the service of Christ. Not only used his household, but used his life to be an encouragement. But the majority of the letter here makes reference when Paul was in prison. And while in prison, he came across, of all people, an escaped slave of Philemon. And he was in prison. The Apostle Paul wanted this man to Christ. And now Paul is writing back to Philemon and asking him to receive, of course, tell him of the great news, the wonderful news, but to ask him to receive him back into his household. But the verses I want us to look at, verses 21 and 22, probably a couple of verses that you've not heard spoken of in mission conferences, and I've really come under the conviction that this is a topic that we need to put front and center of our churches today. Often we would relegate a message like this for Wednesday night. I'm speaking on prayer. You know, there's something about Sunday morning is the pinnacle service of the week. And what we put on Sunday morning is what we're really trying to emphasize to our people. But prayer. Ought this not really, don't we need a revival in this in our own hearts? And I want to speak this morning on sustaining the gospel ministry through prayer. Building that church, helping Christ fulfill his promise that he will build that church, but do it through prayer. Put a couple statements up here and begin with. Missions is primarily a spiritual work, and only spiritual power will maintain it. Let me say this. However, can missionary work be accomplished without the power of God? Well, you can. Sheer energy. You can accomplish it through management. I mean, we do it all sorts of things in life, don't we? We can do it through initiative, methodology, our ingenuity. There's a lot in life that can be accomplished. Just about anything in life can be accomplished through all those things. But the danger is when we become to think that we can do it with all of those things without the sustaining power of prayer. Mormons do it all the time. I mean, by the way, sometimes we do too. Do we really sustain the work of God through prayer or not? This spiritual power is supplied as fellow laborers help to shoulder the work by upholding it before God in prayer. Now, I want us to look at Paul's need of prayer. Now, I've already mentioned, of course, we know, however, where was Paul at this time when he wrote Philemon? He was in prison. A Roman prison. He was enjoying the plasma televisions and Olympic-sized swimming pool and pool tables and all the stuff that... What? Listen, you're in a Roman prison. That is not a place you want to be. We've all seen pictures of these cells and, I mean, chains anchored to the wall and people anchored to the chains that are anchored to the wall and the filth, the lack of food. Can you imagine your fellow prisoners, what that must be like? Here you are, you're a preacher of the gospel of Christ and you're trying to be a witness and they would certainly not be very happy about that. But you're in prison. And there are many times that Paul's been in prison, and God used those times. By the way, wherever Paul was, he was a witness for Jesus Christ. There's a huge lesson. That's a whole other message. But while he was there, he knew that God wanted, he had that sense that God needed him out of prison so he can continue with his work. So listen, he says in verse 21, after he talks to Philemon about Onesimus, he says, verse 21 says, having confidence, right in Philemon, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, Philemon, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Look at the confidence he had in his friend Philemon. But withal, prepare me also lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I got up on the screen here, PowerPoint, Philemon, verse 22. But what is he saying here? I need to be given unto you. Paul said, I have a need. I'm in prison. I need to get out of prison. I need to be given unto you. I need to be released from prison, was his need. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul's prayer letters, if they had prayer letters back then? His email updates, what they would have looked like. Here's a little idea. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, just zipping through, he says, he talked about the labors, the hardness of it, the stripes. I mean, being whipped. Prisons, stonings, shipwrecks, the journeys often, and I understand that one. Next Sunday morning, I open a conference in Ecuador. I'll be preaching the entire week at an evangelistic conference. How about this? Perils of water, shipwrecks, perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen, perils of the heathen, the dangers of the heathen. Weariness and painfulness. I mean, the physical suffering he went through for the ministry he had. Hunger and thirst. There were times where there's privations. He lacked material needs sometimes. Cold and nakedness. And then the burden of the care of the churches. Think of the Apostle Paul's ministry, all that he went through for the sake of preaching Christ. Again, reminding us of Romans chapter 15, verse 30, where he says, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I need the prayers of God's people. Paul had need of prayer. The needs, challenges, and dangers coupled with the spiritual battles and opposition on the mission field are very real and can become overwhelming, even to the most faithful servant of the Lord. You know, and Brother Bill will understand this, we as missionaries, sometimes we go into churches and they treat us as their heroes. Superheroes, by the way. In fact, I've thought about getting a t-shirt with a GFA logo, and I'd get up some and just pull my shirt open and have GFA on it. They look at us as superheroes, like we're something really spectacular. We're just men. There's nothing different about us. We're weak. We suffer. We have needs. Even the most wonderful missionary that we would consider is still just a man. We have need of prayer, folks. And all the ministry, all the toils, all the pressure can become overwhelming. How about missionaries today? You ever think about, you know, often we pray, Lord, now Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, around the world, just bless the missionaries. I appreciate that remembering us, but you know, do you really think about what's going on in their lives during that same week or during that prayer as you pray? Let me throw some things up here. You ever think about this? Entry visas? You know, there was a day that if you had an American passport, you can go anywhere in the world, man. They'd open up the doors. Not so today. Doors are closing down. We talk about the restricted access countries that's difficult to get into. And by the way, we're working ways to get into these countries. The gospel is not bound by borders or by men's laws. But what about, well, I have a missionary right now who's has his support raised, ready to go to Australia. He's been working for 2 years to get his visa. Guess what? They've denied it. So he's got to start the process all over again. Another 2 years. Talk about all the years it takes to do deputation. I mean, it's going to take years to get visas anymore. So he's going to possibly go up in Canada and teach at a school up there, help one of our other missionaries while working on his visa for Australia. How about this one? I got a phone call last week. Missionary on deputation has been working on his visa for England. And guess what? Roadblocks. I mean, I'm not talking about, you would think, you know, Turkey and Jordan, all these other places that are very difficult to get into. It's difficult to get in the easy spots anymore. Praying for missionaries. Lord, open those doors. Give them wisdom how they can get into the country. Anymore, the deputation road isn't necessarily going to be the hardest road to fulfill before going to the field. It may just be getting your visa to go to the field. Health issues is a huge thing. I mean, can you imagine living on a field that is just, it's just routine? You know, once a month you'll get malaria and you're sick for 2 weeks, and then you're good for another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month, and you're sick again. High fever. How would that wear on you? Maintaining a ministry, trying to preach. Protection from the activities of evil men. I'm wondering when the day is going to be. We get updates from our State Department, but I'm wondering when we're going to get a phone call saying that missionary so-and-so has been abducted. The Boko Haram area in Nigeria. Actually, our missionaries are up in Cameroon, northern Cameroon, that were there. It wasn't in the United States news very much, but back about 2 years ago, 3 years ago it was maybe, that there was a French family that was touring in an area that we went to the same spot. There was we've been there several times, and there was a family from France that were abducted by the Boko Haram. You probably didn't hear about it in the States. Our people were even further north of that. Our people were the only white-faced people within hundreds of miles. State Department says, got to get out of there. If anything happens, we can't come after you. They need protection from the activities of evil men. Dangers and difficulties of travel. One of our ladies, Ellen Doyle, she was traveling again in Cameroon along that same corridor. I remember traveling that road, just a long straight road. Normally you need to go with the military caravan. I arrived there one time. My flight got in a little late and Randy Studdard picked me up in the military caravan and already left. I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, let's just hit the pedal to the metal. Let's go. I said, can we go by the hardware store and get a couple broomsticks and paint them black and stick them out the windows? You know, it was nice that his Jeep was an army green, you know. And we just... The one time Ellen Doyle was traveling that same road with a caravan, and the Boko Haram put up a roadblock, had them all get out, get into the ditch. And Ellen says she was waiting for the rifles to begin shooting. She thought that was going to be the end. They just took what they wanted and then just fled. Saw the travels Friday night showing flying into Papua New Guinea. I mean, we thought it was bad just handling the traffic and construction from home to here this morning. Can you imagine the missionaries go through? The demonic oppression and attacks, break-ins and stolen vehicles. We've had missionaries that were home at night. Then you hear the banging, the clattering, and you get up and find out that there are men in the home come to rob you. They take the wife and the children, put them in one end of the room, of the house in one room, and take the husband to the other end. We've had several of this. Diana Boss, I mean, remember about 2 or 3 years ago, she was just bought a brand new vehicle, took down Mexico, wasn't there about a week by an... at gunpoint, it was stolen, roughed her up a little bit, and they took off with that vehicle, and they weren't from that town. It's very evident because they forgot about or didn't know about a curve up there, and they hit the curve, missed a curve, and ran into a building and totaled the vehicle. The hardness of the people's hearts. and you go to the field, and they just assume you get back on the airplane and go home. They don't care that you just drove, 200,000 miles on deputation, ran out 14 sets of tires on your car. So, they could care less. That's difficult for missionaries. About persecuted converts. And when you finally get a convert, and what happens? Man, family oppresses them. They lose their jobs. About praying for the growth and stability of national leaders and churches. By the way, we pray so much for the missionaries. How much time do we spend praying for the nationals? Quite frankly, the national is more important on that mission field than the missionary is. The national is key to the work there more than the missionary is. So what I'm saying, we read down that list of things that the Apostle Paul put up with in his ministry. Look at this. Do you see much difference? It can be difficult. Missionaries today have need of prayer, as Paul needed prayer. So number two, here's Paul's confidence in prayer. This is what Paul looked for. He didn't say, Philemon, send more money to bail me out. I don't need bail money, I need prayer. See, prayer is God's strategy. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. James 4:2, ye have not because ye, what? Ye ask not. Luke 11:9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Philippians 4:6, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers be made for all men. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain help in the time of need. Prayer is still God's strategy. The Apostle Paul understood that. He wrote his friend Philemon and says, pray. I have a need. So back to Philemon 22. It said, withal, prepare me lodging. Interesting. Prepare me lodging. Isn't that an interesting comment? Can you see the confidence, the natural confidence of Paul? Now, you're going to pray, but if you're going to pray, be sure you find me lodging. Because I know that if you pray, what? I trust through prayers, I shall be given unto you. If you pray, don't do it. Don't pray unless you find me a place to stay, because if you pray, I'm going to be there. You see the confidence? Isn't that interesting? Paul's confidence was in prayer. And he knew that if God's people prayed, something was going to happen. I shall be given unto you. It will happen. All right, Tory said, prayer can do anything that God can do. And as God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent. Let's read that again. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And as God can do anything, prayer is omnipotent. Philemon, I need to get out of prison. Pray, but if you pray, you better find me lodging, because God is going to answer that prayer. Hudson Taylor said, it is possible to move men through God by prayer alone. Andrew Murray said, God's child can conquer everything by prayer. Therefore, is it any wonder that Satan does his utmost to snatch that weapon from the Christian or to hinder him in the use of it? Prayer is God's strategy. And Paul had confidence in prayer. Now, number three, Paul's dependence on the prayers of God's people. See, it wasn't just his prayer. Remember, Paul was writing the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you pray. I beseech you therefore, by the mercy of God, that you pray to God with me, for me. Okay? Paul was praying for himself, but he needed the prayers of God's people along with it. But with all prayer, me also lodging, for I trust that through what? Through your prayers. Specifically now, your prayers. There are several people that Paul and I know that anytime we have a need, we call Brother Bill. Brother Bill is his name, North Carolina. And he is a prayer warrior. He's the kind of guy that just has such confidence in prayer. If I need something, we need it, and there's a need, I call him up. Speed dial on my phone. Brother Bill, I need you to pray about something. All right, Brother Miles, let's pray right now. You know, we're praying. One time, several years ago, he came by our house, and we were talking to him, and he said, now, Sister Paula, is there something I can pray with you about? Now, at that time, a very unusual thing happened at our home there in Greenville. We had gotten a black rat in our attic. About this big, you know. Of course, I describe him as this big, but, you know, he's about this big. And I'm thinking, I'm rolling my eyes a little bit. Paula, I mean, don't ask Brother Bill to pray about this rat. I mean, I'll go up there with my BB gun or something. I'll take care of the rat. We had put a trap up there, and we tried all kinds of things. We couldn't get rid of the rat. And he goes, well, Sister Paul, let's just pray right now. We'll pray right now for that rat. And I'm going, okay. Now, Lord, you know, Sister Paul's really concerned about this rat in the attic. Well, if you take care of that, right about that time we heard this snap right above my head where that mouse trap was, that rat trap was. He goes, now, thank you, Lord. I appreciate you answering my prayer. It's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. But ought that not be the confidence we have in the prayers of God's people? As the missionaries go about their business, their ministries, there are great needs, my friends. Does anybody have the confidence in your prayers that they call you? See, Paul says, I need to be released out of prison. Now, Philemon prayed, but now, I'm trusting in your prayers, Philemon. But you better find lodging, because, you know, I know if you pray that something's going to happen. Isn't that interesting how he words this, how he presents the role of Philemon's ministry prayer in the Apostle Paul's life? I'll be given to you through your prayers. Getting back to Romans 15:30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. J.O. Frazier, missionary to the Lisu people in China back in the early 1900s, he said this, I'm feeling more and more that it is, after all, listen, just the prayers of God's people that call down blessing upon the work. Paul may plant and Apollos water, but it is God who gives the increase. And this increase can be brought down from heaven by believing prayer. Listen, whether offered in China or in the homeland. See, he was praying, but he was beseeching God's people in the homeland that they would also take part in that ministry of prayer. He continued. He said, if this is so, Christians at home, listen, Christians at home can do as much for foreign missions as those actually on the field. I think if the church can come to the point, to that kind of conviction, when we get to that point of conviction, can you imagine what will be accomplished on the field? I think sometimes we find it easier to pay for missions than to pray for missions. Well, there's a need, well, let's send them some more money. That's easy, folks. But to be able to labor day after day, as we expect that mission on the field, be laboring day after day, if we can realize we can accomplish just as much at home as that mission on the field. So I believe it will be known on the last day how much has been accomplished in missionary work by the prayers of earnest believers at home. Such work does not consist in display tables and showing of slides, giving reports, good as these may be. They are only the fringe and not the root of the matter. Solid, lasting missionary work is done on our knees. What I covet more than anything else is earnest, believing prayer for me and the work. See, he's reflecting the same sentiment of the Apostle Paul, writing Philemon, I'm counting on this. I know you're going to pray, and God's going to answer. Andrew Murray, the evangelism of the world depends first of all upon a revival of prayer. A revival of prayer. Those four words have haunted me in my prayer life. Isn't it time for us to have a revival in prayer? To really go back and learn how to go before God and pray for these needs of our missionaries. This is deeper than the need for more men. And I've talked about recruitment. This morning we talked about recruitment. Talked about the need for more missionaries. But he says, even for the need for more men is the need for more of the forgotten secret of prevailing prayer. We saw Paul's need for prayer, Paul's confidence in prayer, Paul's dependence on the prayers of God's people. Let me end with some questions. Do missionaries today still need prayer? Oh, just bless the missionaries. And it's all right to pray that sometimes. Sometimes we don't know the needs, and we ought to pray. And Lord, do bless them. That's a good prayer, by the way. But we ought not stop there. We need to go forward and understand and find out what those needs are and understand that missionary and what he's doing day by day. Keep looking. We got a young couple over here. You know them. You saw Mark grow up here, didn't you? He's one of you. My message this morning is prayer for all missionaries that you support, but certainly for this couple right here. And Brother Bill, he needs a lot of prayer. And for myself and for others. But can we have that revival of prayer? Do missionaries still really need, is it really doing anything? How tuned in and concerned are you of that need? What are you willing to do about it? Do you really know what the needs are? Visas, the difficulties, the dangers, the harshness of the field. The best of men will grow weary. They need to be upheld in prayer. Number two, here's a probing question. How much can a missionary depend on your prayers? When they have a special need, well, they think, I need to call so-and-so from Westerville. I know they will pray. And we better be prepared for the answer because God will answer. Are you convinced that your prayers will make a difference? And that's the problem sometimes. We're not convinced that our prayers really doing anything. That ought to concern us. God does answer prayer. Number three, is Satan still working today to disarm God's work by hindering the prayers of God's people? Satan's going to do all he can to stop us from using this most potent tool in the Lord's work. How is Satan hindering Or how has Satan hindered you from praying for God's work around the world? Are we doing it? We have these prayer cards. These are just nice little things to remind you. But let's do it. Let's make a commitment this morning that we are going to revive the ministry of prayer, a personal ministry of prayer, praying for the church here, praying for the body of Christ here, and as it is extended around the world, that to say, Lord, I am going to become one of these prayer warriors. Teach me to pray. Let's pray. Father, I ask you will challenge us in this area of prayer, that we will indeed become men and women that, first of all, we have confidence in prayer. Revive us. Revive us in the area of prayer. Father, I ask that you will help us to see that what we do on our knees, what we do as we're driving down the road and we're praying, Lord, that prayer is shouldering the work on the field. Missionaries need the support. They need the help. They need God's people upholding them. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to do our part. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.